This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello, people of Australia. If you are hearing my voice, then you know it is me, Mojo Jojo. And you are hearing my voice through your ears by the means of airwaves being vibrated with sounds coming from your radio, from Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. I have taken over the station, and soon I will take over your country and the world! Or, as soon as I have a healthy breakfast.
Yeah, start muck, 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 start muck, 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 muck.
How obnoxious were you, Abby?
Oh, yeah.
And so...
A Melbournean?
Melbournean. Well, I'm a New Zealander, actually.
Oh, so are you? Well, I'm going
like
there
you.
Soon.
Yeah. Canadian, having to play Americans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So how long have you been here in...
In Melbourne, 13 years.
Oh.
Lucky 13.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice place. The weather's crap, but anyway.
The weather's crap, yeah. As
well,
opposed to New Zealand.
Four seasons in one day. I don't know if you know.
Yeah,
bad,
I've
crowded
heard of that.
House.
That.
You have heard of it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Is this your first time in Melbourne?
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get started.
Yeah.
I'm Sonia. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And we're here for Armageddon and talking. It's the press junket, say, the day before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The big event coming up this weekend. And I have the fabulous... Absolutely fabulous. Michael,
I think you're at the
Hogan.
Wrong table. Oh, Michael.
No,
oh,
I'm
thank
at
you.
Table.
How cool is that? Thank you.
It is very cool. I'm a big Battlestar Galactica fan.
Oh, great.
Of course. The reboot series,
the
phenomenon that it became.
Yes.
And I know a lot of our listeners are really keen to see it and meet you and...
Mm-hmm. And
all of the other fans.
Right back
stuff.
At them. I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to
it. Yeah, because this is your first time. Yeah.
This is my first time to Melbourne. Mm. But you know, it could be anywhere because at conventions people say, wow, what's Dallas like? Or hey, what was this or that place like? And you say, well, kind of like this hotel room. And you know, because mostly you're just in the lobby or at the convention center.
Yeah.
There is no time to
do
other things.
So,
and I'm here for the fans. I'm here to greet the fans and talk to the fans. Mm. So. There's and that's just fine.
Yeah. Well, I think you're going to get a lot of fans.
Bring them on.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any expectations of how huge, how popular that show would be?
I almost did not audition when it came up. We shot it, I think, as you know, in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I live in British Columbia. And when I got the call to audition, I almost didn't go because it's a military man, Battlestar Galactica. It had been done. Not that I was not a fan or a fan. I'm not sure I've even seen it, but I was aware of it.
Mm.
But then I heard that Michael Reimer is directing it.
Yes.
Michael Reimer? He, as you know, is an Australian filmmaker, but I didn't know. My wife and I watched this movie called Angel Baby, and we watched it and were thinking, holy smokes, who is behind this?
Yeah.
And we, you know, the credits is Michael Reimer wrote and directed and produced it. Being Canadian, we do a lot of independent, low-budget films. They're driven like that one.
Yeah.
And... then, actually, a couple of times I did in Vancouver get breakdowns for auditions that Reimer, since then, after we watched Angel Baby. Mm. But Reimer was never in the room. It was only on tape in the distant thing. But then also I heard that Edward James Olmos was playing Adama, and I thought, wow, there's something to this.
Yeah, there's,
and
there's
so,
some weight there.
Yeah, yeah. Went and auditioned and... had a great time in the room with Reimer. Directors who like to work with actors, whether you get the role or not, it is wonderful experience in the room to work with the director for the 20 minutes you're there, whether you get it or not. They get something out of it, you get something out of it.
Yeah.
And that happened with Reimer, and then there you have it. I got the role. And they had no idea where they were going to go. With Ty, they knew that he was, you know, the alcohol problem, and they knew they were decommissioning the ship, and etc. But so it grew. I'm being long-winded. You knew something was up when you asked me how did I have any idea how vast this was going to be in its effect around the world in popularity, etc. One start was Eddie and Reimer, but Eddie kind of knew that it was going to be what it is.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how amazing it was going to be. As it went on and on and on, I thought, wow, we really are into something here.
I mean, I when you see the opening scenes, it just gives me goosebumps.
Yes.
I was just thinking, we hadn't seen anything in science fiction like that. Mm-hmm. It was character driven, really gritty. You know, the gender swap was amazing. Mm-hmm. Starbuck and that relationship you have with Katie Sackhoff and there, and like
Starbuck, like, buck, Starbuck, buck.
How obnoxious were you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and was she?
And both ways, fabulous relationships.
Yeah.
That's
Reimer.
How much fun or what was it like working with people like Almos, like Sackhoff?
I'm a journeyman actor. Edward James Almos is a master craftsman. I was acting for 37 years before Battlestar Galactica came along.
Yeah.
So I relished. It was like taking a warm bath working with these people. It was great. And Reimer, as one would think, I was wonderful to be on set with. He's an incredibly, you know, when you're doing a play, the safest place in the universe is the rehearsal room. You can go and you rehearse for 3 weeks and you can fall on your face, you laugh, you cry, you do everything in there. And by the time you're ready for first preview to bring the audience through the door after the dress rehearsal, you're saying, come on in, we're ready, come.
Yeah.
And Reimer, through the miniseries and through the rehearsals and meetings and etc. we had prior to the principal photography of the miniseries and then with the miniseries, it was like sometimes on set you go, wow, this is not a television show, this is a major motion picture we are shooting here in terms of the way we're shooting. And so Reimer did the miniseries and then he did the very first episode of season 133. And it was like a cocoon. It was like a safe area that he created for us. And by the time we brought our first other director on for the next episode of season one, we were ready for anybody. And that is thanks to Michael Reimer, because he made us safe and let us flower.
And that's probably his experience, his background too. Knows how to work with actors.
Yes.
Give them the space.
Yeah.
And then bring it.
Yeah. And that's very unusual. There's no time.
And get to know them. Get to know them too. I think that's important.
Exactly.
For that chemistry or not.
Yes.
To happen.
Yep.
Nobody walked out, I presume. Yeah. Everybody got along.
Got along.
Don't do it there. That's good.
Next question.
Space dirt. Space dust. Look, so you've been in quite a bit of the genre stuff that we love. I mean, Numbers.
Yes.
I believe. Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon. Bit of Joss in there.
Yeah.
What was he like?
I didn't get to spend much time with him because it was directed by somebody else and he was just briefly there. So that was... He's obviously, you know, I mean, that's one thing about Battlestar is it certainly brought people like Whedon and a lot of other people into my universe.
Bring
me into their universe, and I've worked with some pretty amazing people because of that.
And, of course, the universe of Vancouver. I mean, the universe of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time you turn on one of these cable television shows, whether it's Lost Girl, whether it's watching BSG or Warehouse 13, Eureka, so on and so on, it's Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the whales.
That's true. And it's also, it's because of the tax breaks
And
the dollar that brought them in there initially, and then they see this ocean of talent over the years. So, yeah, we are a service industry to the American television system, definitely.
That's fantastic.
I mean, there's no way with the numbers that we have in Canada can we produce things to compete with the level of the American television network.
Yeah.
I did a series for a couple of years called Cold Squad, Cameron Wood Network in the States. came out with the show, I wasn't with anymore, but while they were still shooting Cold Squad, a series called Cold Case. Yes. And there's nothing Canada could do. There was nothing that the amount of money that they had they just did it, and then they sort of just said, go ahead, and because they're a big network, you can't compete with that.
You
just can't compete
with
it.
It's Goliath, really,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not complaining on the big thing, because look at what it's, you know, brought to us and brought to me.
Interesting take on it, and giving that probably room for freedom of expression.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have if it was made in Hollywood.
Yeah,
everyone else looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, true that.
Now the other thing is, because for Sci-Fi and Scream, we do a bit of a segment on video games and your voice. Yes, the voice.
Yeah.
The
well, there
voice.
You go, Battlestar Galactica, Mass Effect, 2, and Mass Effect 3. You know the folks who put that together from live in Edmonton, British Columbia, another Canadian company. Yeah, they brought me on board because of their fans of Battlestar Galactica, and the other video games I've done as well is the same. The Fallout New Vegas, Elder Scrolls.
Elder Scrolls versus Skyrim. And, of course, experience-wise, voice acting.
Well, in... the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the radio, we used to do a lot of radio drama and poetry readings and book readings at the CBC over the years.
Uh-huh.
The studio in Toronto used to be full, and Vancouver as well. Unfortunately, because of the government budget cutbacks to public broadcasting, they're empty. But that's another story. But they're sadly empty, E-M-T-Y now. But I won't tangent on to that. But I'd done a lot of voice work, radio dramas and poetry, et cetera, on the radio. And so it was a natural thing for me to go into the studio and do the voice of the video games. But that was because people wanted Saul Tai's voice from Battlestar Galactica in there doing that. Are you a gamer?
Not as much as my co-host. He would be probably rolling around on the floor now.
Yeah, but, well, you can tell him that Fallout New Vegas, do you know the game?
Yeah, I know of the game.
Okay, well, when Fallout New Vegas came out, my son Charlie, he's in his early 30s, so he'd be in his late 20s when that game came out. We live on an island off the coast of British Columbia, and one of his buddies on the island said, I can't get very far in that game because I can't stop shooting your dad, man.
Is that nice? Oh, don't invite him to the Christmas dinner.
No, that's great. Every time my dog shows up, he goes blam, and away he goes.
Cool. 1 minute. Yeah. All right, cool.
Cut
to the chase before we go. What's up next? Any more science fiction?
You know what? Nowadays, this is a longer conversation, but nowadays with these non disclosure agreements, when I did Red Riding Hood, I was literally 20 minutes in there signing. I thought they were kidding me for my wardrobe fitting. Right?
Yeah.
So, but the one thing I can say is I just shot an episode of a new series called Man Seeking Woman, and it stars Jay Baruchel. And Google him if you haven't.
We can
do it. I'm going to tell him you said that, and he'll be love it. I just shot it before I came down here, and man, it was so much fun to do a comedy because all this post-apocalyptic, and we're both Canadian. We both, you know, haven't known each other before.
We're a bit slapstick.
Oh God, we had so much fun and so much fun to go on set and laugh.
Because I loved him on Fanboys. That was a
just too much. Hey, Goons too. If you're not Canadian, so you probably wouldn't care about that one. But that is so funny.
All right, now just of course, that's about it. I wonder if I could get you to say that.
Yeah.
It's a tag, Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94. Obviously a name, or you can give us a
Sci-Fi on and Scream on
Joy 94.9.
Okay, Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy
94.9. Yeah.
Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Why don't you in the break, goddammit?
And your name, sorry.
You couldn't tell? It's Michael Hogan. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Excellent. Bravo. Thank you very much.
I messed that up a bit, but...
No, that's all right.
I did, Mom.
Hey, this is Alina Huffman for Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.